Okay, we are ready for lesson 12. This is a continuation of the story of Gideon, and it would go on a little bit further than that, some other ones as well. All right, let's see if we can kind of come up to date to where we are with Gideon. What's the first thing we learned about him? Mighty valor. That's exactly right. That's right. What? Right. And what did he do? He built what? Altar. Very good. He built an altar. And the name of that place is... Oh, did I stump you? Come on now. What's the name of that place? Ophrah. Almost like the lady on TV, isn't it? Not quite. All right. And we learned what else did he do? Yeah, what was he called to do as a judge? Go and fight who? Midianites, okay? And how did this come about? How many men did he wind up taking to fight them? 300, okay? He had how many to start with? 30,000. How many went home? 22,000 went home, and then he found the rest of them by what manner? The way they drank from the stream. Yeah, okay, all right. And he wound up with 300. So he takes the 300 and he tells them to do what? Do as I do, okay? And so he scatters them around this enemy army and he does what? Breaks the pitcher and... what shines forth? The torch, yeah. Okay? And as we see it total darkness out in among these camps, you know, and then all of a sudden you've got lights all around you. You know. At least three sides, I would think. I'm not sure about that, but I would think it would be probably three sides. And so they started doing what? They started killing each other, okay? Thinking that he was the enemy. Right up against them. So then we know that they started fleeing after that. And so now we are coming up on a story about these men that were leaders of the Midianites, and their names was Zeba and Zalmunna. Not an everyday name you run upon like that. But that's all right. They're not everyday people, I don't guess, in our society anyway. But these two men, along with their army, was fleeing. And we'll find out in Judges 8 and 9 exactly what happened. When Gideon and his men came to the Jordan, chasing these two men and their army, they were exhausted. They had already been fighting, and they were exhausted. So what they did, they came to Succoth. I'm not sure exactly the pronunciation of it. And they went into the city, and Gideon asked for food for his men and for him. They were pretty well depleted as far as their strength. And so he told the men of Succoth that he was pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, and that, you know, they needed some strength to be able to continue. Well, their question was, if you got them in custody, you got them in hand? Well, no, they didn't. They were chasing them, you know, and they were afraid that if they helped Gideon, and then Gideon didn't actually take Zeba and Zalmunna, then they would come back and destroy their city. And so they wouldn't give Gideon and his men any food. Now, this is the plight, as you can see, down to Succoth and Penuel, whatever. And we're going to find that Zeba and Zalmunna came down this route and crossed over Jordan on out to Karkor. I guess that's the way it's pronounced anyway. So, since they wouldn't give Gideon any food, he said, when the Lord delivers these men into our hands, we're going to come back and we're going to thresh your hides, basically, with thorns, wilderness. That doesn't sound like something I'd want done to me, but I mean, I've done some thrashing in my time with my children, kind of, but I didn't use briars and thorns on them, you know. I used something that was a little bit less stingified, but and you can imagine what that might do to somebody if you whipped them with briars and thorns. But anyway, Gideon goes on to Peniel, and he asks for food from that group of people as well. And they basically gave the same answer as they did in Sukkah. You know, had you got them in hand, you know? And they didn't. And so he said, well, when I return, I'm going to break down this tower. What kind of tower would it be? Okay, part of the defense of the city. A lot of times they were round and they were fairly tall and could hold quite a bit of people, actually, in some of them. But Zeba and Zalmunna had actually gone on to Karkor over 100 miles east of the Jordan, thereabouts anyway. Zeba and Zalmunna only had about 15,000 left of his 135,000 time they got there. So a lot of their army had been pretty well wiped out already. Gideon used the roads of the nomads. What is a nomad? Anybody know? Desert people who just roam here and there. Okay, but he used those particular roads evidently to get there. He captured them. He destroyed the army. Gideon now returns to Peniel and to Sukkah. We remember what he told them he's going to do, okay? And so he had not forgotten their response to him about not giving him and his men food. So Gideon shows them that he's captured them. Here they are. We got them. They're in our hands now. So he destroyed the Tower of Peniel and also slew the men of the city. Think about where Peniel and Sukkoth is located. What tribe would be in that region? Gad. Okay, good. Oh, you cheating on no. It's okay. That's okay. But it possibly from Gad. Okay, that's where these actually were. He went on to Sukkoth. He took thorns and briars and did just what he said he was going to do. He thrashed them. Now, you know, we don't know exactly how much he hurt them, but I expect it was pretty good. The problem of these cities was they did not believe Gideon in the battle. And so they was not going to back him at all in this particular situation. So Gideon turns to Zeba and Zalmunna and asks, what were the men like that you killed at Mount Tabor? We find this in Judges, the 8th chapter. Who was at Mount Tabor? All right, Gideon's brothers were there. And so he wanted to know what these men were like that you killed there. And so their reply was, well, they like you. They look like the offspring of a king. Gideon's reply, they brothers. And if you had not killed them, I would have saved your life. But Gideon turns to his son. What was his son's name? Jether. Jether. And he said, kill him. But that's Mount Tabor. And we didn't have seen that a bunch of times. And that's where evidently they had the battle with Zeba and Zalmunna with his brothers, where they killed them somewhere in that region right there. But Jether was afraid to kill these two men. Why would he be afraid? He was just a boy, a young man. And he was afraid of them. And so Zeba and Zalmunna said to Gideon, he says, do it. This is a task of a man. Oh, he didn't kill both of them. These men had on their camels crescents hung around over their camels. They were probably very expensive. These men were Ishmaelites. The flight of the Midianites started in the Jezreel Valley, as we were talking about. Came down the valley to the Jabbok River, and they crossed there, continued eastward over to Karkar. The tribe of Ephraim had hurried to the fords of the Jordan and captured as many of them as they could. So Ephraim came to this area right here, and they captured as many as possible as they crossed over. But Gideon was asked to become the king of Israel and rule over them. After this all finished up, they said, "We want you to be our king." Well, Gideon's response was, "No, I'm not going to be your king. And not only that, neither are my sons. We're not, any of us will be rule over you. Lord is your ruler. To obey him. But I will make one request," he said. "If you would give me the gold earrings that you took from the spoils of war," or the loot, if you want to call it that. Give me the earrings or rings that you had gotten. And there was much gold, because these men were Ishmaelites. Where have we heard of Ishmaelites? Remember? You remember, Charles? Remember where we met Ishmaelites? Right? Joseph, okay? And Joseph was what to them? He was sold to them. For how much? How much? I didn't hear. Hello? How many?
20.
20 pieces of silver. Okay, good. Jesus sold for 30. Joseph sold for 20. Good. Ishmaelites were desert dwellers. And that's Genesis 37:25. That tells about that story there. These warriors usually took their wealth with them, and they took it everywhere they went, basically, and even to war. Many times they would decorate their camels with jewelry and fine linen, scarlet, gold, and all those kind of things. They would decorate their camel. Can't tell you why, I don't know. I guess that's to show maybe how much they had accomplished, maybe, in their battles and those kind of things. Yeah. Look what all I've accomplished, what all I've taken, I don't know if that's it or not, but it's a possibility. These men were glad to give Gideon this that he had requested. And they spread out a cloth, and each one of them came by, and they cast their rings on it, and it turned out to be a pretty good chunk, 1,700 shekels of gold. Bob's got about 50 pounds. Now, I'm assuming that's about right. I don't know. But 50 pounds of gold is a pretty good little bit of gold. But Gideon took the gold and he made an ephod, put it in the city of Ophrah. You know what an ephod is? This little thing right here. That's an ephod. One on the back side of this guy as well. This is a little closer up view of one similar to it. A lot of times these were made from linen. This particular one looked like it's made from leather, maybe. And they would insert stones, precious stones, inside these. Who wore these? High priest, okay, of Israel. And what else took place with that? What else was involved in that? All right, in behind that is where they would reach in to pull out the Urim and the Thummim. Know what that was for? Make decisions, okay? And they did that many times before going to war and those kind of things. They would reach in and pull out the Urim and Thummim. Somehow or another, they pulled the one that God warned them to, I assume. So, anyway. Now, what was on this right up here on the priest of Israel, Onyx stones, okay? And the names of the tribe. Very good. Very good. That's right. Exactly right. Right up on the shoulders had the names of the tribes. That's good. Uh-oh. All right. It's basically a front and back flap, and a lot of times it was a linen. In 2 Samuel 6:14 tells you about being a linen ephod. Okay? There were other kinds as well. There may have been some type of idol, possibly, that this ephod was put on, because they worshipped it. We're not really sure exactly. I mean, you don't think about them just worshipping this little flap on front and back, unless it's on something. But we don't know for sure exactly what happened. But it could have been something at the altar that Gideon built, we find in 6:24, Judges 6:24. Could have been something about the altar. I don't know. But Israel, we're told, went whoring after it in chapter 8, verse 27. They left God. They left Jehovah and went after this ephod and strain as a, like a god. It became a snare also to Gideon and his family. So they got taken up into it as well. Israel had quietness or calmness for 40 years after this, after the Midianite skirmish was over. Gideon had 70 sons and many wives. And he had one concubine in Shechem who bare him a son named Abimelech, which means, this is what Bob had in his book, my father's king, or it possibly means father of kings. So we're not, I'm not sure about it either. But anyway, we find that Gideon died at a good old age. Don't know exactly how old at this point. After his death, Israel turned to Baal, idols. Okay? That's happened how many times now? Can't count them on our hands, you know. They do this quite often. Israel turned from Jehovah, who had delivered them from their enemies, and turned to Baal. It's amazing how soon they forget what these judges had done for them and what God had done and delivered, how He had delivered them so long. In Judges, the 9th chapter, we have the story of Abimelech. This is a kind of an unusual story, strange story in a sense, you might say. But many consider him as a judge, and he's listed with the judges. But he's not ever mentioned as a judge in the Bible. So, but he became the leader during this particular time, and that's the reason I assume that we add him in with the judges at this time, because he was actually a leader. Call him a leader of some type. God was never with this man. He was a very unscrupulous type person. Did evil and a lot of evil ways. And the things that he did, terrible, the way he did things. He was an ambitious man. He was determined to be king of Israel. What did his dad say? None of my sons are going to be ruler, king over you. But we find that this one, he's going to take it upon himself. And so, he and the men of Shechem decide that he would be king. He goes to them and he says, would you rather me be king or those 70 brothers, whatever it might be left? What are you rather that many different ones be leaders, And oh, by the way, I'm part of your kin, because he came from a concubine who came from Shechem, Gideon's concubine. But he wanted to know, you rather have me? I'm one of your own. I'm flesh and blood to y'all here at Shechem. But you'd rather have the other ones, We have no indication that any of his brothers even desired to be king or rule over Israel. We don't have that at all. And so all of his relatives from Shechem said, well, he is our kin. So, we need to put him in as king. So the Shechemites gave Abimelech 70 pieces of silver, and he used it to hire some terrible men. They were very bad. He took them to Ophrah, and he killed all of his brothers on one rock, one big rock. They took them all up there and done away with them. He didn't have to worry about them taking over the kingdom that way, see. But we find that the youngest son, Jotham, escaped by hiding somewhere. We don't know for sure where he was hiding, but he was able to hide and got away from it, being killed. We're not sure that the men of Shechem actually knew that Abimelech was going to, what he was going to do with the silver. Find that in verse 4. It's a possibility. They didn't know. But after this, Shechem and the house of Milo made Abimelech king by the oak of the monument that was in Shechem. They made him king. So was he the first king? Not in God's eyes. Okay. He wasn't condoned by God in anything he did. But this all happened near the city that God had actually promised to the descendants of Abraham. Find that in Genesis 12, verse 6 and 7. That's where the promise was made to Abraham, in the area of Shechem. Jotham stood on Mount Gerizim and he cried out, "Listen to me, you men of Shechem. The trees of the forest went out to choose a king over them. They went to the olive tree first, and asked it, 'Olive tree, rule over us.' The olive tree said, 'Should I leave my fatness, by which people give honor to God, go wave back and forth over the trees and rule over the trees? Should I do that? No, I'm not going to do that." Now, Gerizim, you remember? This hillside? Shechem's down in the valley. Mount Ebal's over there. Remember that? He stood over here somewhere. Holler over this city. That seemed like an awful long way to holler to me. I don't know exactly where he was. It may have been kind of a natural theater, if you want to put it that way. You know, Jesus was in some areas kind of like that, where His voice would carry, evidently, like on Sermon on the Mount, places like that. But anyway, remember Mount Gerizim here, Shechem in the valley, and Mount Ebal on the other side. That's where he was talking from. He goes on to ask another tree. The trees go to the fig tree and ask it to come and rule over them. And the fig said, "Should I leave my sweetness and good fruit and wave back and forth over you to rule over you?" Wouldn't do it. So they went to the vine and asked, "Would it rain over them?" He said, "Should I leave my wine that cheers God and man to wave back and forth over you? No, I'm not going to do it either." So finally, last of all, the trees came to the briar. Now, thorn bush. Can you imagine trees going to a thorn bush and say, "How about rule over us?" And with pride, the briar said, "Excuse me, be your king, then come and stand in my shade from the heat. If not, then let fire come out of the thorn bush and devour the cedars of Lebanon." You know, just amazing that kind of scenario would who was it describing? Abimelech? Right? So, Jotham goes on to say, "If you men of Shechem have dealt uprightly and fairly in making Abimelech king and dealt rightly with my family, I want you to remember my father fought for you, put his life on the line, you might say. He delivered you from Midian. You have risen up against him and against his family. They executed his sons. You've made Abimelech king over Shechem because he is your relative." Jotham telling them exactly what they've done. "Dealt fairly with Gideon and his family, then rejoice in Abimelech and let him rejoice with you. If not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the citizens of Shechem." Jotham turns then and he flees. He goes to Beer, where he lived, because he was afraid of Abimelech might come after him. Well, Abimelech, Shechem, kind of got into some problems. Abimelech was prince over Israel for 3 years. And the Israelites involved were those tribes that lived near Shechem. So what tribe would be in or near Shechem? Manasseh? Good! Good for you. Manasseh? What other one? Awful quiet in here. Ephraim, okay, possibly Naphtali or Asher, somewhere in that particular region, possibly, okay, all right. Those could have been involved in this. Not real sure about it. God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and those of Shechem. Shechem began to not honor the agreement that they had made with Abimelech. There must have been some type of agreement they had made And they began to kind of do away with it. But the men of Shechem started robbing those who came along the mountain trade route. You remember the trade routes? Where was the two main trade routes? All right, the King's Highway that came on the east side down through there. And this one came down. There's one that came down through the mountains, more or less. And this is one that they was talking about, that Shechem, the men of Shechem would start robbing the people. Kind of reminds you of something going on today. What? Somalia. That's right. Somalia men stopping ships and things over right now. Kind of a similar situation. But Gaal, the son of Ebed, along with his men, came to Shechem. This is another individual. And Shechem welcomed him, thinking that he would make the way of escape from Abimelech, possibly. And so they had a big party, and they consumed a lot of wine, and they got, tipsy. And Gaal challenged Abimelech. He stood up and he said, "Come fight." You know how a person's drunk talks. You know, he's ready to fight anybody. Well, this is kind of the way Gaal was. Oh, I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce that. But anyway, he said, "You come and fight." Of course, Abimelech wasn't anywhere around when he was saying this, And so Zubal heard the words of Gaal and became very angry. And he was evidently in kind of cahoots with Abimelech. So he sent word to Abimelech about this rebellion that was happening there in Shechem. And he tells Abimelech, "You need to come by night, hide in the field, and attack the city in the morning." They go out, So Gaal and his men, Gaal that's going to come against him. Who was it going to come against him? Who will come out against Abimelech? Guy's name? But what was his name? Going to come out against him. It was Gaal, wasn't it? I'm thinking Zubal. Okay. You're right. All right. So, anyway, you're right. So, when he comes out with all the men, then Abimelech, you just take him and do whatever you want to with him. You just take care of him. And so Abimelech gathers his men. He sets out by night to go to Shechem to attack them. The next morning, Gaal was standing at the gate of the city. And he looks out, and Abimelech's men start to move down the mountain to attack. What mountain would it be? Come on now. It's Shechem. What mountains are there? No, it's not Tabor. Gerizim and Ebal. All right, good. Just checking you out, see if you look. All right. So they started moving down the mountain. And Gaal said, "Look, there's people coming down the mountain. I see them." Zubal answered, "You just seeing the shadows at the top of the mountains. The trees move on the wind, and your shadows kind of move. Can't be men up there, you know. Gaal said, "Look, there comes some from the high point, and there's something by the way of the oak of the soothsayer." So he's pretty sure, there's some coming now. And so Zubal said, "Okay. You bragged about taking on Abimelech. What about it now? You ready to take him on? Go ahead. Go on out there and fight him. Said you would." So he gathered his men and goes out to fight and went to meet Abimelech. Abimelech ran Gaal and his men back to the city, and many fell wounded that day. Abimelech took Ruma, I'm assuming that's right, for his headquarters. Zubal drove Gaal and his men from Shechem. Men of Shechem went to the fields the next day, and Abimelech set an ambush. He took the city, he tore down the city, he put what on it? Salt. Why would you put salt on a city? Nothing will grow. That's right. Crops, nothing else will grow where you've got salt. Have you seen some picture? I should have put a picture of around the salt sea down there, nothing grows down there. It's just salt, and that's it. But anyway, and when you have salt, it kills the ground. Others in Shechem heard what happened. And they went to a stronghold. Name of that stronghold. Judges 9:34. Sam. Anyway, one of you find it there in a minute and we'll give that name. Yeah, that's right. House of a God Bereath. That's right. That's good. Okay. And that was a stronghold that they went to. Abimelech was told where there was, and so he cut a bough off of a tree, and he told his men, he said, "You do the same as I do." So he was carrying this limb on his shoulder or whatever, and they did too. And they all piled it. Excuse me. Round this fortress, and they burned it. Throat's dry. Maybe in a minute. Thebes had the same mindset as Shechem and Abimelech. Laid siege to that city as well. They had a strong tower, and they all went to this place for safety. And Abimelech is going to burn it as well. And as he approached the tower, the woman did what? Throwed a millstone out from upstairs somewhere. Hit him on the head. He would have died. He asked his assistant to run a sword in him so he wouldn't be what? Killed by a woman. That's right. But Israel saw Abimelech was dead, and they returned home. God rendered judgment against Shechem. Curse of Jotham came upon them, just as he said. True. That's about all I can say. All right. Any comments or questions? This is a very unusual story, and yet it's recorded in the Bible, and we need to learn it. We need to be able to tell others about it as well. Well, almost time for the first bell. So, and I'm just about out of voice.